fell in loose curls down her back, and her black jeans hugged the curves of her hips and ass. Her eyes danced with excitement. "Dance with me." I held out my hand. Without a word, Ella slipped off her seat and joined me. Once we reached the dance floor, I pulled her close and pressed my forehead against hers as we swayed to the music. "I came to an important conclusion today." "What's that?" she asked, her smile infecting every part of my soul. "That I love you, and I can't live without you. Ella, you made me breathe again. Believe again."
"Sebastian."
Her palm moved over my cheek.
"I love you too."
My pulse hammered against my wrist as I slowed our dance. "Ella McLeod, my heart only beats for you. I've rehearsed this moment, played it over in my dreams, but now all those scripts seem unworthy and they pale in comparison to the reality of you." I admitted, the words tumbling out with an earnest chuckle. "You've made every day a new adventure, a story worth telling our grandchildren one day. You're my today, my tomorrows, my inescapable and wonderful always." I continued. I dropped to one knee, everyone a silent witness, as I removed the black velvet box from my jeans pocket and opened it to reveal a ring as radiant as the smile I hoped to see her wearing soon. "Ella, will you marry me?" I asked. Her hands flew to her mouth, a mirror of the surprise I felt at the strength of my emotion.
"Yes."
I reached for the 2-carat princess-cut engagement ring and slipped it on her trembling finger. Standing, I pulled her in for a deep kiss. She giggled against my lips and laced her arms around my neck. Laughing, I picked her up and spun her in a circle. Not once in my lifetime had I felt like this, happy and hopeful about a future with the one person I loved with my entire being. I set her down on the floor, her gaze softening. She pushed up on her tiptoes, and I bowed my head to meet her lips.
"I have a surprise of my own."
She grabbed my shoulders and pulled my ear to her mouth. My eyes widened as the shock of her words torpedoed through me. I sank to my knees once again and placed my palm on her abdomen, placing a kiss on her stomach. I swore to cherish and protect my child and future wife for the rest of my days. She gently played with my hair as I kissed her belly again, then gave her a goofy grin. I stood and embraced her before I yelled at the top of my lungs, "I'm going to be a father! Drinks are on the house!" "And a non-alcoholic drink of your choice." I took her hand, eager to get her home and into my bed.
Chapter 54. Ella. Several weeks had passed without a single sign of death's presence. With our diligence in minimizing Sebastian's triggers, the killings had decreased significantly. My heart swelled with joy as I saw him content and excited about our upcoming wedding and the news of our pregnancy. He'd even stepped back from his duties in rescue missions and managing the bar, allowing us to spend more time together. A gust of crisp air greeted me, and I turned around to find Death standing inside the kitchen door. My pulse raced with conflicting emotions, both happy and sad by his appearance. "It's been a while since I've seen you." I pushed up on my tiptoes and kissed Death, grateful that I'd slipped my engagement ring into my jeans pocket while I was packing. The engagement on top of what I needed to tell him would be too much. He released a sexy growl and pinned me against my kitchen counter, which was littered with dishes that I was packing. His eyes narrowed.
"Where are you going, little lamb?"
"I'm putting the house up for sale." I ran my fingertips over his cheek. "You'll have to figure out when to see me, since I'll live in a penthouse." I wrapped my arms around his waist, his hard chest pressing against mine.
"No, this is our place. You're not selling."
His tone was low and deadly. My brow arched. "I have to pay for Dad's cancer trial. The medication is working. When I move, I won't have a mortgage payment anymore." A hint of a smile graced his lips.
"It's already paid for, little lamb. When I arranged for your father to have the treatment, I took care of it up front. If there are additional costs, the doctor will contact me."
He gripped my waist, digging his fingers into my skin.
"I will always protect you, Ella."
I ran my palm over his muscled chest, his pecs tightening as I did. At times, I was well aware that Death didn't want me to touch him. He had to feel in control. I had to take it slow and make sure he felt safe. "I need to move on, Death. Not from you, not ever, just a new location."
"Why are you pushing this? I said no."
"Because." I peered into his gray eyes, fascinated with how his looked different from Sebastian's, and with how Death had a Pacific Northwest accent. "I'm pregnant and need a bigger place for the baby." The kitchen grew so quiet I could have heard a feather hit the floor.
"Pregnant?"
His voice sounded full of wonder. Delicious little goosebumps peppered my skin. "Yes, I'm a few months along." He stepped away, staring at my still flat belly. I suspected he was on an emotional overload. It was funny how at one time, I refused to carry a serial killer's baby. I doubted I would say never about anything again. "I think it's a girl, but we will know for sure soon." Death dropped to his knees and placed his cheek on my stomach.
"I swear always to protect you. I will slowly dismember anyone who attempts to hurt you. I will be a better father than my sick and twisted one ever was."
He lifted my shirt before he pressed a kiss to my abdomen as I stroked the back of his head. "You'll be a wonderful father." Since I had learned more about Sebastian's condition, I understood that Death knew about the same father that Sebastian did, but their memories were separate. Death had taken on all the trauma. Then his psyche couldn't handle anymore and split. He stood slowly, his eyes blazing with sincerity.
"You are my queen, Ella. You and the baby will lack for nothing."
I threaded my fingers through his hair and cupped his neck. "See? Already a good father." I smiled up at him, my heart full of what I felt for him and Sebastian. "But we need to talk," I continued. "And I need you to hear me and not fly off the handle before I finish." Death nodded, and his gaze narrowed on me.
"Go on."
I released him and located my purse on the cluttered kitchen table. Rummaging through the contents, I found what I needed. "After you see this, I want you to verify the information on your own. I'll give you what you'll need." I opened a kitchen drawer and removed what I needed. I walked back over to him, my hands trembling as I unfolded two pieces of paper. Placing the proof on the counter, I set the baggie with strands of Sebastian's hair next to it.
"What is this?"
He frowned. "Two paternity tests. Don't freak out.
You're the father? I tried to calm my racing heartbeat. If this didn't work, not only was I out of ideas, but I also wasn't sure the knowledge wouldn't push him over the edge and end very badly for the baby or me. I had no choice, though.
Two? Why two if the baby is mine?
He gripped my jaw so hard, pain bounced through my head. Please, please listen to me. If there is an ounce of trust toward me, I need you to listen. He slowly released me. Do you remember the last time I saw you? I called you Sebastian. He growled, but remained quiet otherwise. The baby is yours, and Sebastian's. I had a friend gather some of Sebastian's hair, and some of yours was in my bathroom sink. Look at the results, please. You'll see they're the same DNA. Death snatched up the papers, his eyes scanning both.
This doesn't make sense. You had these made just to fuck with me,
he roared. Shit. I shook my head and took a few steps back. I would never do that to you, never. All I ask is that you verify the tests, and when you realize it's true, promise me you won't try to hurt Sebastian anymore. My knees wobbled, and I sank to the floor as a wave of nausea rolled through me. I glanced up in time to see him stomp out the door. For whatever reason, he didn't turn on me, and I suspected it was because I was pregnant. Sobs shook through my body as I allowed all the pent-up fear and anxiety to the surface. Only time would tell if death would be back, and what that would look like. Chapter 55. Ella. Although I was excited to officially move in with Sebastian, it had been a long 2 weeks without death. I was at my place as often as possible, hoping he would show up. Each time I slipped my engagement ring into my pocket. I hated lying to him, but until I knew the baby and I were safe and he could at least promise not to hurt Sebastian, I couldn't risk it. I glanced around my place with a combination of sadness and excitement. I had held off moving into Sebastian's penthouse with him, but I couldn't continue to put my life on hold. Tonight was my last night at home. Since there wasn't any furniture left, I sank to the floor and crossed my legs at the ankles as I leaned against the kitchen cabinet. My life had taken so many turns while living here. Dad nearly died. I had a stalker who ended up being Shadow Whisperer online, but death when he wasn't behind a screen. I had fallen in love here, and I would always hold treasured memories. But it was time to give it to the next person. I stood slowly, and then the back door opened. Death's black boots caught my eye. Wiping my suddenly sweaty palms on my jeans, I waited for him to speak.
I don't understand, but the tests are accurate. I even had someone take Sebastian's DNA and had mine and his tested.
He tossed the papers on the empty kitchen counter.
You weren't lying.
I wouldn't lie to you, Death. The situation is confusing, but I only ran the paternity test so you wouldn't try to hurt him anymore. He's promised the same with you. Death's confused gaze swung to me.
It doesn't make sense. And I've spent the last few weeks planning his slow, torturous death until my test results came back identical to yours.
His hands fisted at his sides.
Someday I'll try to understand, but because we can't be the same person.
He strolled over to me and gripped my chin, forcing me to look at him.
Not now. My instincts say it's a bad idea.
I traced his stubbled jawline,
Trust them. They won't steer you wrong. Deep inside, I understood that Death was cunning and manipulative. He wouldn't stop looking for answers. I only hoped that it would be a while before he continued to learn more. His mouth crashed down on mine, and he dug his fingers into my side. When he finally released me, my lips were deliciously bruised. I placed my palm on his chest. I missed you. We will work out when we can see each other.
I know.
The turmoil in his eyes flipped to hatred with a dash of mischievousness.
I was going to wait, but I have a gift for you.
Oh, I like presents, but I'm not sure what to expect from you. His sexy, wicked grin fell into place.
Always anticipate the unexpected.
He leaned down and kissed me, roughly. His lips parted, and my pulse raced as his tongue teased and coaxed mine. Cupping my face, he tilted his head and kissed me deeper. His touch stole the air from my lungs, and my knees turned to jello.
Get your purse. We're going somewhere.
If anyone saw us together, they would see me with Sebastian. I just had to make sure no one engaged us in conversation. If we're in the car, hiding would be easy enough. 3 hours later, the sun began to set, and Mother Nature had painted the cloudless sky with streaks of pink and orange hues. Soon, I would be watching the sunsets while rocking my baby. The idea wasn't a reality yet, but everything would change when I started to show. Death parked in the middle of the field, near an abandoned warehouse that was barely holding up. Once he exited the car, he strolled to my side and opened my door for me. He protectively slid an arm around my waist, and I nuzzled against him, enjoying this rare side of him. When we reached the entrance with a padlock and bolt in place, he turned to me.
You know who I am, little lamb. That will never change. I hunt. I torture. I kill.
A lump formed in my throat and I swallowed it. I know. A shudder worked its way through my body as I suspected he was holding someone inside. Is someone in there? My voice cracked with emotion as I reminded myself that this would be my life with him. A part of me would have to fully embrace the darkness since I'd vowed to protect him, even when he had no idea that I was pulling the strings in the background to keep him safe.
Come.
He took my hand and led me inside, the heavy door closing behind us and cutting off the stream of light. I stood in the pitch black, my heart stuttering in my ears. The intense beam from his flashlight lit our path. He stopped before I stepped over broken boards, grabbed my waist, and lifted me over them.
They have nails.
He didn't have to explain. I understood what he'd meant. Stunned at his care of me and the baby, I stared at him in awe.
Let's go. Time is short, little lamb.
Death took my hand and we walked to the back of the warehouse. He opened another door and flipped on the light. A man in his boxers and a dirty white tank huddled in the corner. He'd been badly beaten and his knee and leg were bent at a strange angle. He would never walk again, but that was the least of his worries. A large empty cup and crumbs of leftover food on a paper plate were next to him. For whatever reason, Death had wanted to keep his prisoner alive. We moved closer. His swollen bruises were the only thing I could see. I was rooted in a haze of uncertainty, and I bit my lip, holding the swell of feelings inside.
Ella?
My brain scrambled to understand who was in front of me. Death walked over to the man in the corner and kicked his broken leg.
Talk. Like your life depends on it, motherfucker.
The man shrank in the corner, blubbering like an idiot.
Look at her, Death growled. Who do you see?
The guy slowly rotated his head toward me, his piercing blue eyes like an icy dagger, making my heart gallop while cold shivers of terror raced through my veins. Dread danced around me like a black fog, threatening to engulf me.
Ella?
The sound of his voice punched me in the gut and dropped me to my knees. Death rushed over to me, grabbing my hair just in time for me to puke. The stench of the splatter hit my stomach harder, and I retched again, chunks landing on the hand I was using to brace myself against the floor.
Little lamb, look at me.
I spit the last bit of puke out of my mouth and wiped the dangling string of saliva from my lips. I turned my head, tears spilling down my cheeks.
John Bordeaux will never hurt you again. He will never touch you or another child again. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I nodded, and my emotions morphed into shock and then anger. My eyes were bleary with my body's sudden revolt at seeing that son of a bitch after all those years.
I wanted to give you closure. Do you have anything to say to him before I finish what I started? If you want to strike first, he's all yours.
Death whispered, brushing his lips across my temple, deep concern embedded in his features. I managed to stand on wobbly legs and my chin shook. Slowly, I walked toward John. Adrenaline sizzled through me and I clenched my jaw so hard that pain shot through the side of my head. This had been the moment that I'd dreamed of since I was a child. Revenge on the man who molested me and sold pictures of me on the internet. The man who had befriended my parents. I cleared my throat and squared my shoulders. With tears in my eyes, I exhaled, searching for the right words that would wash me clean of the black stains he had left on my soul. But there were none. Nothing I said would change the fact that this guy was a sick, fucked up pedophile. Rage pounded through me, and my hands fisted. A twisted laugh escaped me as I approached him and kicked him in the face with my booted foot as hard as I could. His scream echoed off the walls. Too bad you won't walk around blind for the rest of your life, John. You would never be able to take another picture or video again. I stomped on his left hand, which was on the floor beside him. His cries echoed throughout the room. That's for every child you touched and scarred for life. I planted both feet on the ground, my breathing ragged and heavy with a rage I'd never allowed myself to experience before. Lifting my leg, I slammed my foot down on his dick and balls. His screams were deafening as I backed away, admiring my damage. Even if death let John live, he wouldn't hurt anyone anymore. I almost wished John would survive. The mental anguish of what he'd lived through would be a sweet revenge. But I knew that death wouldn't let him go because, in the back of his mind, he would always be watching out for John to come after us. I doubted he would go to the cops, since it would also lead to an investigation of him. I backed away, my gaze still on John as my chest heaved with heavy breathing.
Ella?
Death said from behind me.
Look at me.
I turned slowly, my skin buzzing with anxiety. A storm of emotions pulsed through me as I focused on Death's extended hand.
Take it.
Death's knife lay flat in his large palm, beckoning me. I reached out and touched the handle, the same one that had been inside me. The blade glimmered in the low light, and I wrapped my hand around the hilt, electricity sparking through my body.
You can do this. Embrace what's inside you, little lamb. Embrace your darkness. As I've told you, we are the same.
My attention drifted up to Death's. I nodded, then gripped the weapon in my hand. I walked over to John and kneeled beside him. Power coursed through me at the mere thought of controlling whether he lived or not. John peered at me through red, swollen eyes, snot hanging off the tip of his nose. His lips parted, but before he spoke, and before I talked myself out of it, I plunged the knife into his chest. The crack of his sternum echoed off the walls, and the room spun as images of John's abuse ricocheted through my mind. I pulled the knife from his body as blood spurted from the wound. Raising my arms up, I stabbed him in the stomach. His agonizing wails barely penetrated my hatred while I repeatedly buried the blade inside him. Finally, John's body went limp, his unseeing eyes staring at the ceiling. My body shook violently as I stared at John's blood all over my hands and wrists. I had killed him. I had killed a man in a rage. The knife tumbled to the floor as I scrambled backward. My stomach rolled at the sight of John and all the blood, and I turned my head and vomited again. Gruff hands held my hair back as my belly emptied its contents.
You did well, little lamb.
He helped me to my feet and cupped my chin.
Don't ever apologize for saving the children who John would have taken and used.
I blinked rapidly as Death told me about the two little girls behind the wall that he had saved. With the truth of what I'd done, how I'd helped kids stay safe, I tucked away any guilt in a little box and buried it deep inside me. I'm ready to go, I said, tipping my chin up in victory. It was over. The man who had molested me died a painful death as I rid the world of him. I allowed myself one more glance and let the sight of him, wrecked and broken just like the children he had hurt, give me a glimmer of peace. Raw, dangerous power flowed through me, and for the first time, I understood Death's sick fascination. It was control at its strongest. Without any effort, Death swept me up, his muscular arms slipping under my knees and around my back as he scooped me off the ground.
Let's get you home, little lamb. I'll finish my work here later.
I gripped the back of his neck, marking him with John's blood as he carried me over broken boards and nails until we reached the exit. He set me down and opened the door. His gray eyes pierced my soul, and my body suddenly hummed with desire. We reached the car, but instead of him opening the door and climbing into the driver's seat, he led me to the hood of the car and bent me over.
You did well, Ella.
He slid his hand around my waist, undid my jeans, and slowly lowered them over my hips and down my legs. Death helped me step out of them, then licked and nipped his way up my bare thigh.
You'll be rewarded for your kill.
I shuddered as his breath grazed over my G-string, my pussy growing wetter by the second. Death hooked his fingers in the strings and dragged it down to my ankles. He spread my ass cheeks apart, exposing me to him. On his knees, he hungrily devoured my core with his tongue, lapping at my slick folds and circling my pulsing clit with expert precision. Each lick sent shockwaves of pleasure coursing through me, and I moaned as he thrust his wicked tongue inside me. He savagely nipped at the sensitive skin around my entrance, igniting a fiery ache that only intensified my desire for him. His touch was fierce and insatiable, driving me to the brink of ecstasy with each tantalizing stroke of his talented tongue. Death slid two fingers inside me, coating them with my juices before he trailed up to my asshole. As his lips latched onto my clit, He moved his hand to my tight asshole and pressed against it. With each thrust of his finger, I pushed back eagerly, taking in the full length until I was grinding against him like a wild animal. The combination of the kill's adrenaline rush, the blood staining my hands, and Death's skilled touch sent me into an uncontrollable frenzy. I screamed and thrashed as my orgasm exploded over his face, leaving us both panting and drenched in sweat and pleasure. He stood and turned me over, his hands gripping my hip as he wiped my juices from his mouth and chin. With a primal growl, he freed his cock from his jeans and rubbed the engorged head against my slick slit. His eyes blazed with pride, wonder, and an intensity of love that I had never seen before. As he slid into me, his gaze never left mine, locking us together in a fierce connection. He leaned down and traced his tongue along my collarbone, nipping at it with a mix of possessiveness and passion. I wrapped my hands tightly around his neck, pulling him closer as he picked up the pace. Each deep thrust hit my clit just right, sending sparks of pleasure shooting through my body.
"You are my queen, Ella McLeod,"
he growled between breaths, his words fueling the fire inside me. I circled my legs around his waist, meeting each of his thrusts with equal fervor. "Yes," I moaned in response. "And you are my king." With every move, we were lost in a perfect rhythm, our bodies moving together in a passionate dance.
"Come for me, little lamb,"
he urged, his own pleasure evident in the huskiness of his voice. My world exploded as my body seized with ecstasy. "Oh, God," I cried out, clinging to him as wave after wave of pleasure washed over me.
Sebastian,
I stammered, barely able to form coherent thoughts as the intensity consumed me. And then, in one final glorious moment, he roared as he released inside me. We collapsed together in a tangled mess of limbs and emotions, our bodies spent, but our hearts united as one. He looked up at me, and his knuckles grazed my cheek. Then he kissed me on the forehead. My stomach turned in anticipation of his anger at being called Sebastian, but it never came. He gently brushed strands of hair away from my face, his eyes full of awe and a hint of apprehension.
"Let's get you home."
A sense of peace washed over me as I realized that for a fleeting moment, Death had recognized Sebastian.
Chapter 56, Death. Where predators roam free, the prey lives in chains, unknown. A malicious grin slipped over my face as I stared at the mess my little lamb had made. I returned to the warehouse after I got her and my baby safely home. Pride had swelled in my chest as I watched Ella kill John. It wasn't right for me to have all the fun when she needed closure, especially now that she was pregnant. My little lamb had to understand that I would continue to rid the earth of foul monsters who preyed on innocent children. I barked out a dark laugh, realizing I would soon be protecting a daughter. At least, Ella suspected it was a girl. Blood moved across the floor, trickling into the drain. Once I disposed of John's body, I would clean up the remnants of my work. I dragged his ass to the black tarp and dropped him so hard that the back of his head split open, exposing his brain. Whistling oranges and lemons, I continued to prepare him for disposal and scrub the room. When I brought someone new here, I wanted it to be pristine before I started to torture them. Footsteps slapped against the concrete floor, approaching quickly. I glanced up, grinning at my longtime friend from college. One evening, I had slipped out of the dorm and stalked a campus rapist, and Ryan had learned my identity. I was young and dumb and hadn't checked my surroundings well. Once I tossed the guy in the trunk of my car, I drove a few hours away to take my time to kill the son of a bitch. When I reached the abandoned house, where I would dissect him while he was awake, Ryan showed up. We fought, and I won. I tied him up and dragged him into the home where my victim was waiting for me. Ryan glowered at me, then asked who I'd kidnapped. I explained who he was and why I'd taken him. He'd raped 11 women on campus. It had to stop, and I could do exactly that. It took a while for us to trust each other after that night, but I'd quickly realized he was one of the good guys. He was on my side, and we'd become close friends. Once he joined the police force, I had someone to help cover my tracks so I could continue my work. Right on time. "You know I wouldn't leave you hanging if I can possibly get here," Ryan said. "Grab the fucker's feet." Ryan strolled over, his expression grim, as we picked up and hauled the body out of the building and tossed it into my trunk. I left the lid open, not wanting the stench of his sins to permeate my car. I wiped the sweat from my brow. "Thanks for the help. It's always easier if I have a hand." I folded my arms across my chest, eyeing the cop. "I'll keep them off your trail. I fed them a bullshit story the other day, so it should keep the team busy for a while. It's getting harder to get to the crime scenes and help clean up." I rubbed my neck. "I know, I need to lie low, but this one was personal." Ryan chuckled. "Lie low is an understatement. They're sniffing you out. Shit, I'm helping clean up and throwing the cops off your trail as much as I can, but I can't be there for you all the time. Get your girlfriend and take a long-ass vacation. You're going to be a father. You need to pick your kills a bit more carefully." "I understand." My forehead pinched. "How did you know she was pregnant?" "I'm dating her best friend, Cammy." "If you hurt her, you'll have Ella to deal with." I grinned. "That's not a place I'd want to be." "It's always the best friend that you have to watch out for. I'll be good to her, but does Cammy know about this?" He nodded at John's lifeless body. "No, Ella would never give me up. She's in too deep." "Aren't we all? When you gagged and tied me up in this warehouse, I changed my mind about you. As a cop, I have to be careful. I can't take sons of bitches out like you can, so I'll do the next best thing. Help you stay out of prison." We went silent for several beats. "If anything happens to me, promise me you'll take care of Ella and my baby." "Fuck. I can't go down like that. I have to slow down the kills." Ryan took a deep breath, his chest rising and falling as he looked me dead in the eye. "You have my word." He extended his hand, and we shook. Unfortunately, there wouldn't be any way to tell if he honored his word, but I hoped I would never have to find out. Chapter 57. Sebastian.
"You're so beautiful. You're glowing." I tipped Ella's chin up. "Are you ready?"
"Yes, I'm excited to learn what we're having."
She smiled at me, love sparkling in her mesmerizing green eyes. I picked up our luggage and took one last look around the penthouse before we walked into the hall and I locked the door behind us.
"Hopefully traffic isn't too bad,"
she said, wheeling her carry-on bag next to her. I pushed the button and the elevator doors whooshed open. We piled in, laughing at the number of suitcases we'd packed, but we would be gone for a while. When the doctor had told Ella that she needed to lower her stress and relax, we decided to spend time at my house in the country. She'd never visited upstate New York, so it would be a perfect place to unwind and prepare for the baby. After her dad and mom had returned from California, we took them to dinner and shared the news about the baby. I'd never seen parents so proud and excited. I believed it gave her dad something to continue to hold out for, even though he was in remission. Soon after, Ella gave notice at her job. I had expressed my concerns about her working around criminals while pregnant, but she grinned and told me she'd had plenty of practice and could hold her own. I didn't doubt it, but it was my responsibility to keep her safe. And with the move, she agreed that it made sense to quit. We were loaded into my car a few minutes later, and I pulled away from the curb. I turned on some music and smiled as Ella danced in her seat to Silence by Gally J.
I'll miss the club, will you?
Sure. It kept me busy and probably out of trouble. I shot her a grin. Until you walked in, then I knew I was in trouble. Her giggle lit me up. A sudden wave of grief washed over me, and I took her hand. I wish my parents could be with us today.
Me too, baby.
She squeezed my fingers. 45 minutes later, we arrived at the doctor's office and were shown to a room. To my surprise, we didn't have to wait long for the doctor.
Hi, I'm Dr. Glendon. This is my fiancé, Sebastian,
Ella said, introducing us.
It's nice to meet you.
The doctor turned her attention to the love of my life.
Ella, how are you feeling? Good. I'm a little tired, but the nausea has calmed down. Excellent. And as for your move to New York, I've already reached out to a wonderful doctor there. The front desk has her information for you when you leave. Call her and schedule your next appointment. Thank you so much for taking care of us.
Ella placed her hand on the little baby bump.
Are you ready?
Dr. Glendon asked.
Yeah,
we replied in unison. The doctor patted the table, and Ella hopped up and laid down. The doctor raised Ella's shirt and squirted a gel on her stomach before she pressed the probe against her. Dr. Glendon said, moving to wander around. I froze. Is everything okay?
Everything looks good. The babies look healthy.
Ella frowned before she bolted upright, knocking the doctor's arm away by accident.
Babies?
The color drained from her face as her gaze darted to mine. I grabbed her hand, the news sinking in. How many? I managed to ask.
Twins, fraternal, one boy and one girl.
Ella fell back onto the bed.
Holy shit. Two?
She squeaked. One of each. I laughed. That's amazing. I leaned over and kissed Ella, then whispered in her ear, That's my good girl. You're going to look so beautiful with your belly swollen. A cute blush graced her cheeks.
Wait until Cammy finds out. She'll be planning to move into the guest bedroom.
We'll need her. I winked at Ella. After the appointment, we boarded my private plane. Ella had been quiet as she walked onto the aircraft for the first time. Initially, I thought she was recovering from the shock of learning she was carrying twins. But there was something else. It was almost as if she recognized the plane. But that would have been impossible. I hadn't even told her I owned one until after we were engaged. Once we were in the air and settled, Ella reclined, and I covered her with a plush brown blanket. I sank into the seat next to her and watched my beautiful girl as she slept. I had a feeling I'd better do the same. We had a busy road ahead of us, but at least finances weren't a problem and we could spend time with our babies. 7 hours later, I drove up the long gravel driveway that meandered through the property and led to my home. Both of us had napped on the flight over, and Ella was ready to stretch her legs. When I turned off the engine, she hopped out of the car and looked around. It had been a while since I'd been here, and I'd had to hire someone to clean and prepare it for us.
Oh, my God, It's gorgeous, Sebastian. You've been holding out on me. The large country house, nestled in the rolling hills, was stunning. Its traditional two-story structure with a stone foundation and cedar shake siding was painted a warm, creamy white. Well-manicured lawns with maples and oaks surrounded the place, with its wraparound porch and swing overlooking the pond. If you can't find me, I'm curled up on that porch swing with a blanket and book, she added. I walked up behind her and slipped my arm around her waist, careful of her slightly swollen belly. Can you see us building our future here? I nuzzled her hair.
Yeah, I really can. It's so peaceful.
She faced me, her gaze finding mine.
I love you, Sebastian Fletcher. I can't wait to marry you and become your wife.
Ella snorted.
After the babies, of course. I want to look good in my wedding dress.
Ella, you would look stunning with a round belly at the altar. Now, be my good girl and get into that house. I've been waiting to make love to you all damn day. I tickled her sides, her squeals and giggles, music to my ears. She ran to the door and waited for me to unlock it. I swung it open, and she stepped inside, all smiles. I wondered if she realized that she owned every part of me. One thing I knew for sure, my search for love and a future had ended the moment Ella McLeod walked into Velvet Vortex and stole my heart.
Epilogue. Ella. Honey! I yelled from the kitchen, holding my 2-year-old son, Alaric, who had managed to mangle a banana and mash it in both our hair. Coming! Sebastian burst out laughing the moment he laid eyes on us. Good job, bud. Did you have fun with your food? Sebastian took Alaric from me, and I hurried to the sink to wash my hands. It was useless to try to clean up until I bathed him.
How can I help?
Cammy asked from the edge of the kitchen, bouncing her goddaughter, Verity, on her hip. If you could help Sebastian with a bath for the kids, I'll check on the turkey. Mom and Dad will be here any minute. Excitement bubbled inside me. This was the first Thanksgiving with my parents in New York since Dad had finished the trial and had been pronounced cancer-free. The last one, we had packed up the kids and visited Portland, checking on the penthouse, seeing friends, and spending time at Velvet Vortex. Sebastian had stepped back from the club and the Safe Horizon Society. He ran most missions behind the scenes and let Dope, Kip, and Riley vet new people to help. The organization had grown exponentially in those few years, assisting more families than ever. I was so proud of Sebastian's work that I could burst. He was my hero in so many ways. Once the babies had arrived, he threw his heart and time into helping me raise them. When death visited, Uncle Dope and Kip would take him away and manage his killing sprees. So far, luck had been on our side, but I never stopped worrying that one day our lives would come to a screeching halt. The doorbell rang, and I quickly peeked at the turkey before I hurried to the door. My tennis shoes slapped against the light hardwood floors as I peered through the peephole. I answered it and opened my arms wide, embracing my parents. How was your flight? I asked, hurrying them inside. I looked outside and grabbed the additional suitcase on the walkway as snow flurries began to fall.
Good. Flying in on Sebastian's jet made the trip much more relaxing.
Mom grinned at me and hugged me again.
You've got a good man there, Ella.
Dad pulled me into a big hug. Tears stung my eyes every time I had a chance to hug him again. We had come so close to losing him, but thanks to death, my dad had been given new life.
Let me show you around. As you can see, it's well broken in with the kids' toys strewn everywhere. I swear, I get everything cleaned up, turn around, and have to do it all over again. With a house this big, it's a good thing that Sebastian helps. The soft, natural light poured through large paneled windows, casting a warm glow over the area.
That stone fireplace is really nice.
Dad looked at me, admiring the heart of the living room. After we eat and the kids are in bed, we'll have to enjoy a drink and catch up.
I'm so excited to see the grandkids. They're growing so fast, Mom said.
Squeals from the bathroom floated down the stairs. Cammy and Sebastian are cleaning up the kids. Alaric made a mess of his banana. I'm sure I still have pieces in my hair.
Honey, why don't you show us to our room? Then you can go shower.
I can't. I have the turkey in the oven. Mom patted me on the back.
Let me help. Go take a break and get cleaned up.
How could I refuse her offer?
Okay, but I'll hurry.
Don't. Enjoy a few minutes of quiet. I showed my parents to their room, as well as the bathroom, main floor, and upstairs, before I was able to take a break. The doorbell rang as soon as I turned on the water to my shower. At least Sebastian and Cammy had finished bathing the kids and had put them in the playpen. Laughter reached my ears, and I grinned as I stepped beneath the hot spray. Kip, Dope, and Ryan had arrived. I was sure that Cammy would be thrilled to see her fiancé. Ryan had ended up an excellent addition to the group, even though he was a cop. Eventually, I had learned that he had kept Death's secret for years, and I could trust him. Somehow, Dope and Kip hadn't met Death's other right-hand guy, since they'd never run into each other. The college that attended was huge, so it had been easy not to run into each other. Even as the men grew older, Ryan made it a point to stay out of the bar and away from Kip and Dope, until he had started dating Cammy. Once Dope and Kip got to know him and realized he was in full support of Death's extracurricular activities, they became good friends. We would all protect Sebastian's secret as long as we breathed. The only person who didn't know was Cammy, and I'd had a difficult conversation with Ryan about telling her that he helped Death. A part of me felt my bestie had the right to know about Ryan, and the other part of me wanted to protect her from a truth that could destroy her soul. It was so hard keeping the secret from her, and one day, when the time was right, we would tell her. I just wasn't sure when that would be. The heavenly smells of Thanksgiving filled in the home, and my stomach growled as Sebastian set the 20-pound turkey in the middle of the table. Excited, Verity kicked her feet against the high chair, her brother following suit in his. I squeezed my daughter's hand, laughing at her outburst. There was rarely a quiet moment anymore, but I would take it. Sebastian cleared his throat as he stood at the head.
Thank you all for being with us today. Each of you has a special place in our hearts, and you're more than friends. You're our family, and we're blessed to have you in our lives. So cheers to family.
He grabbed his wine glass and raised it. We all held up ours, and the room overflowed with gratitude and love. Cammy's hand caught my eye, and I looked over at her. Her grin was infectious, so she cleared her throat before she looked at Ryan.
We have an announcement and a question.
Do tell. I took a drink, waiting for what I suspected she would say.
We set a date next summer, early summer though, so I don't sweat through a wedding dress.
Congratulations filled the room, and the kids squealed their approval.
Our question is, can we get married here on the property? We love it out here so much.
I couldn't hold back my smile.
Babe?
I looked at my husband, hoping we weren't putting him on the spot.
Hell yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea.
More cheers rippled through everyone at the table. It was perfect. Everything was absolutely perfect. Sebastian carved the turkey as Dope and Kip harassed him about the first one he had attempted to carve. It was intriguing to see the differences between personalities. Death was skilled with a knife, but Sebastian not so much. We all laughed as Dope dramatically told us how badly he had butchered the bird. Dub should write books. He was an incredible storyteller. After everybody had full plates, Sebastian sat down and grinned at me. He leaned over and whispered, "I love you for all eternity, Ella. I love you too, baby." He pressed a tender kiss to my lips, and I sighed against his mouth. Sebastian straightened, his expression faltering for a moment. He plastered on a smile as he turned to me again.
"Do we have any Advil? I have a headache."
"Yeah, let me get you some." I squeezed his hand as I excused myself from the table and stole a sideways glance at Kip and Dope. Before I returned with several Advil, I slipped my wedding rings into my pocket. At least I had a little warning these days before Sebastian changed. "The kids are tucked in and sleeping," I said, entering Sebastian's office and closing the door behind me. "How are you feeling?" I approached his desk and moved the files over before I sat on top of it. Sebastian scrubbed his hands over his cheeks and sighed, then dropped them in his lap.
"Tired. It was a great day, and I'm happy to have everyone here under one roof for a day, but..."
He placed his warm palm on my knee, worry creasing his forehead as he looked at me.
"I feel off."
I put my hand on his. "How so?" He looked away, but not before I saw shame coasting over his face.
"I don't know how to explain it. My mind is full, like my thoughts are too crowded."
His head hung between his shoulders, and seconds later, a wicked sneer slipped into place, his dark chuckle echoing through the room. Death searched his surroundings.
"Hi,"
I said softly, not wanting to startle him. It typically took a bit for him to acclimate to his surroundings.
"Little lamb, why am I here?"
he growled, his voice deep and throaty. "I brought you home to rest after you disposed of your most recent victim. Do you remember?" His steely gray eyes focused on me, and shivers racked my body.
"I remember carving up Alexander Morgan for snatching his stepdaughter in the middle of the night and selling her."
"Yeah, one less sex trafficker to worry about." I offered him a kind smile.
"One less to target our kids."
He stood quickly, then leaned over me, his nose skimming my cheek as he bit the sensitive skin of my neck. He parted my jeaned legs and pulled me to the edge of the desk, pressing his hips into me. Without warning, he grabbed his head and sank back into the office chair, his breathing ragged.
"Fuck."
I hopped off the desk and knelt before him. "Breathe, baby. Try to relax. It's okay. It's safe for both of you here." He looked at me, agony and terror ripping through his gaze.
"I don't want him here."
He spat. "Death, he won't ever leave. Sebastian is a part of you. He's a wonderful husband and father. Can you try to be open to the idea that he's there with you?"
"You keep asking me that every fucking time I see you."
His hands balled into fists, then a trace of acceptance flashed in his eyes. He shook his head as if to clear the cobwebs. My heart rate spiked. No matter how many times I saw death, it sparked a twinge of fear and adrenaline. It had taken me a long time to learn to navigate these conversations without sending him into a rage. But it was progress, and I was grateful. He was worth every ounce of effort. "I would never lie to you. You know I wouldn't. I love you." I reached out and traced his strong jawline with my fingertips, the day's stubble scraping against my skin.
"Then why don't I remember? Why can't I get rid of him?"
He gritted his teeth as he spoke. I released a soft sigh.
It doesn't work like that. I wish it did, but Dope, Kip, and I are here. Your children are safe and sound because you and Sebastian are protecting them. He's the strong, kind, hot-headed part of you. I love every part of you, Death, including Sebastian. Over the last 2 years, I'd had the same conversation with Death over and over, hoping that somewhere inside his brain he could eventually grasp that he was also Sebastian. There would never be a reconciliation where one of them left, but I knew that before we got married. Each time Death appeared, there was a small nugget of acceptance that Sebastian was also present. Death grimaced, as if his next words caused him excruciating pain.
I'll try for you and our kids.
It's all I ask. And when it gets to be too much, we'll go on a trip and help you find your next victim. I gave him a wicked little smile. Maybe I can go with you next time. He grunted his approval before he pulled me to him and slammed his mouth on mine.
If my queen bows to her king tonight, I'll give you anything you want.
I giggled against his mouth. Even though I knew it was healthy for Sebastian to be present the majority of the time, I still craved the darkness. I craved Death. But as long as I had them both, my world was complete.
This is the end of In the Shadows, a Podium Audio production. If you enjoyed this audiobook, we would love for you to rate and review it. For more dark romance, check us out at podiumaudio.com and sign up for our newsletter. We promise we won't spam you. Also, consider joining our community of listeners, fans, and trolls on social media. We're active on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Reddit. We'd love to connect. You have been listening to In the Shadows, produced by Troy Odie. Written by J.A. Owenby. Performed by Celia Stone and John Hartley. Text copyright 2023 by J.A. Owenby. Production copyright 2024 by Podium Audio. All rights reserved.